place to go. No place to go.
Sunrise in Chicago on a Tuesday morning, 7:20 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show, on a happy Tuesday morning. It's amazing, isn't it, how much better moods people are in after the Bears win?
Especially here, Dave. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's very important for my coworkers to be waking up on the right side of the bed this morning.
Yeah, especially when you stay up late. Dave Ennett, Jisoo Yee. We have Super Joe and Vivian on the other side of the glass. Steve Grzanich at the newsroom. And Mary Vandeveld back in Traffic Center. Welcome back, Mayor.
Thanks. Yeah, we missed you yesterday.
Oh, missed you guys. Well, kind of.
Are we allowed to talk about where you were?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I was up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, with about the cousin that's getting married for the fourth time.
That's my husband's best friend. Got married for the fourth time. Actually, he was married already, so this was a reception.
Ah, but, got it.
Yeah, and it rained. It was, you know, Saturday. It didn't rain here, did it? But it rained there.
Oh, yeah.
It rained.
Yeah.
Oh, was
yeah,
it Saturday?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
So they say the third time is the charm. What is the fourth time?
I have no idea.
The fourth time better work. That's what needs to happen on the fourth time.
How about this better be it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Fourth time is fully guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Talk to Larry King.
I watched the game last night, Dave.
I know you did. I'm so...
The whole thing?
First of all, I'm so impressed.
Okay. Thank you. Listen, and everybody listening, know I do enjoy sports. I love sports. I'm just saying that I don't need to learn all the ins and outs of football because there's brilliant people like Dave Ennett and other people that are like amateur sports reporters like Super Joe that know everything about football. So I can give my brain a rest on that. I don't need to learn the ins and outs.
Well, you don't have to analyze it because we're going to have Dan Hampton on a little bit later on, and Hamp's a Hall of Famer, and Hamp will break it down for
us. Right. Leave it to the experts. Just I can watch it, enjoy it, rest on my laurels, and write on your coattails. You know what I'm saying?
We gotta tell Hamp to clean up the kitchen, by the way, when they're done.
What happened?
Well, they just leave all their food laying
there. There's
one
of the traditions.
You tell
here.
Him, though, Dave. I don't want to.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not telling him. But they bring food in for Hamp and OB when they're doing their post-game show. They watch the game here.
Right.
And then our friends at Barlini's bring them food, tons of food.
And it looks really good, but not later in the morning.
The morning after.
Maybe they can put it in the fridge and save it for us.
Yeah, but they don't.
Steve was just back there cleaning up, though, so he's got it all put away.
To me, that sounds fun. Like, invite me to that. But, you know, I wanted to let you know, yesterday you taught me about the plant leg.
But before you say that, invite you to that could risk your life.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
There's food flying. There's sparks coming off the silverware.
It could be nasty.
By the way, they occasionally do use silverware.
It sounds exciting. It sounds like one, you know, football watching party you don't want to miss.
And plastic silverware is not good for ex-Bears, I don't think.
Well, on plastic silverware creating sparks, that tells you.
Yes.
I watched the game rather intently, and I did notice that the kicker, I was thinking about the plant leg, the new...
Rosie and I listening yesterday. G thought the plant leg was a leg with plants.
It's plant-based.
Oh, no.
I just had the visual of a leg covered with, like, hanging houseplants.
Ivy.
Yes. But I did notice the kicker had two different colored shoes on.
Uh-huh.
So is one a plant shoe?
Good question. Let me go live to Dave on this. Dave, is that a plant shoe?
That's a plant shoe. There's a kicking shoe. So there's not necessarily a specific plant shoe, although I'm sure kickers have their preferences.
The kicking shoe has a small bit of C4 in the toe.
Nice.
So upon impact, the explosion actually causes the ball to fly farther.
Right. Yes. I think that's good.
Not great for your toes.
Oh.
No.
Kid of the week coming up. Also, your MVP, Hamp, as you guys have been talking about, Jack Brewer, former NFL player, who's doing a very interesting thing now with his life. We'll talk about that. Interesting guy. Dean after 8 o'clock. And Derek Haas is the executive producer for Chicago PD and Chicago Med. I think I'm probably going to get back into acting.
Are you? Have you been cast?
By the end of that segment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could see you as like a really cool like detective. You've been around
the older,
town.
Wiser, tired cop.
You could say like really cool things like I don't know.
I'm not going to cover for you two anymore.
You know what I see you as, Steve? I see you as the EMT who doesn't look like the other ones.
Ah, that's a good point too.
You could be like, eh, he's going to die. I don't think we should work on him.
I think in a character description, wise and aged would be a couple of the possible words.
You could also
The cook?
Which cook?
The one who
cooks. At the firehouse?
Yeah. Well, you could, that'd be a good job.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Hang,
yeah.
Lay back.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Sorry, description of this sounds like I have to sit down.
With just the right amount of sass and sauce to you, you know? Just enough.
You guys don't like goulash? Make your own damn food! And then I walk out.
Perfect.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Every line is yelled. Yeah, something subtle. And Orion later as well, all coming up. It's 6:16. We'll get to the top six at 6 next.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
6 people rescued Monday from a sinking boat miles from shore, like 6 miles from shore. Chicago Fire and Police Departments responded about 9 o'clock last night to a distress call. I heard 6 miles. Was it 2 or 6? We need exact reporting here. Was it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
According to our notes here, the distress call was about 2 miles east of Navy Pier.
I'm going to go with your information, yeah. Steve. You're in the newsroom.
Right.
2 miles is plenty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's going to be a while to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Frank Velez, a police, Chicago Police Fire, let's try that one more time. Chicago Fire Department Captain Frank Velez and a police rescue boat pulled out 4 people while a CFD boat pulled out 2. All 6 were wearing life vests, were nice. Brought back to Navy Pier for treatment.
And nicely done on those life vests.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a complete tragedy if they had not been wearing life vests. The water is warm, but not that warm.
I know people
think... The farther
out
you go, the cooler it is, right?
Yeah, I know people don't think that it looks so cool to wear a life vest, but it's pretty important to wear one.
I'm wearing one now.
Oh, nice.
At any point, this show could sink. Next... Greta Thunberg, 16-year-old climate activist, tells global leaders she will never forgive them for failing at climate change. Quote, we are in the beginning of mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. She got a loud, resounding round of applause. Still the United Nations General Assembly yesterday. How dare you? Separately on Monday, Thunberg and 15 other children filed a complaint with the United Nations alleging that 5 of the world's leading economies have violated their human rights by not taking adequate action to stop the unfolding climate crisis. The president, and this is news, later mocked her on Twitter. A child. So
Here.
Apparently that...
She was great. Did
that
you
girl
hear her?
Was fierce.
Great.
I was afraid of her.
And apparently the be best thing isn't kicking in at home.
Yeah, he told her that she should be in school.
That's
well, but the quote itself was, oh, she's looking forward to a great and happy life. It's unnecessary. You're president of the United States. You need to be better than that.
She's also a pretty incredible sailor. She crossed the Atlantic on an actual zero-emission sailboat on her way to get here.
I don't even know what that is. A zero-emission sailboat, is that like 3 logs and a sail?
I don't know, but I mean, she refused to fly in an airplane because of the carbon footprint of the airplane.
Wow.
Here's the thing. We're now counting on children to do the work of adults because of the cowardice of politicians, whether it's gun control and appropriate methods taken to limit the carnage that goes on. By the way, speaking of kids and guns, the Sandy Hook Promise website has a PSA that everyone should see. It's brutal to watch. And it's the back-to-school supplies that kids got that are all used by kids in a time of an attack. It's hardcore, and it's not bloody in any way, shape, or form. It just breaks your heart because you know that everything in it is factual and could actually happen at any time. And that's at Sandy Hook Promise, and I would invite you to check out my Twitter feed for it or to just find it yourself. I am at Cochran Show. Next, the guitar belonging to the late, great B.B. King. I don't know. Was it actually Lucille? No, Super Joe's got Lucille. Play that thing. Play that thing, Super Joe. Do you know Super Joe can play the blues? I like when Super Joe closes his eyes and rocks back and forth.
That's why he's super.
A guitar that belonged to B.B. King sold at auction for how much? Guess.
$1 million.
$280,000. Whoa. That's a lot of money for a guitar.
I feel like that's a little, that they got a good deal on that guitar. Right. I would expect that to be more.
Well, that's because I think there were a lot of them.
Is that
these Lucille guitars, aren't there? I hope this wasn't my son-in-law because he's guitar obsessed.
Does he have $280,000 lying?
Not that I know of. If he does, I'm retiring and moving in with him.
The black Gibson ES-345 prototype was given to King by a guitar company on his 80th birthday. The headstock has B.B. King 80 and a crown inlaid with a mother of pearl. It was one of several, as Mary just said, that he called Lucille. You know, as much as I think I'm a blues man, I don't know the story of Lucille. Does anybody know why B.B. King called his guitars Lucille? I'm going to go way out on a limb and say Lucille was a special lady he met once.
Yeah, I hope so.
So
I'd ask Big O when he's on. I bet he knows.
Big O, the blues man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we ain't had no rain. Next. Another loss for Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson, the wacky Pete Rose haircutted prime minister of the UK, is in New York for the UN meetings. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court in the UK, their version, 11 judges, said, yeah, we think you lied to the Queen, and therefore everything you're trying to do to shut down Parliament is not allowable. And Boris Johnson now is on a record streak, a Cal Ripken, Lou Gehrig-like streak of losses, day after day after day. He may have to go back early to his home to fight for his job and not be kicked out of office as things are getting uglier for him.
Did you see his interview with Lester Holt last night? And when Lester asked him about the comparisons to the president.
Like, peculiar.
Yes.
Yeah. The Parliament will reconvene tomorrow. We're now being told by the UK House Speaker there the Parliament will be called back tomorrow. And there's already calls for Boris Johnson's resignation. And I'm guessing he'll have a meeting with the Queen now that it's been revealed by the Supreme Court that he may have lied to her.
You lied to me? Oh, we're going to have a talk. This will go on your permanent record. Joe, hold on. I need to talk to you. This is another Joe. Joe from Marengo. Don't hang up, Joe. I need you in a second. Next, Eagle Prime. Anybody know what this is? The crown jewel of the Megabots. Eagle Prime was a, or is a, 12-ton fighting piloted robot.
It sounded like a golf range where you would be like, gee, I just shot 75 on Eagle Prime. Is that a good score?
You know, you're so close.
I'm so close.
As you describe this, you're almost there.
I'm just thinking Transformer.
It is kind of Transformer-y. Now, if you want it, it's being sold on eBay for a dollar.
Why? Oh,
I would think just based on the scrap metal. You know, now here's the problem. You got to move it. It's 12 tons. So somehow you got to get it to your house, and you got to get it in your room before your mom sees.
Where is it right now?
The bidding is jammed up to $50,000, I'm being told in my ear. Where is it right now? I don't know. I don't know.
Where are they?
Because I have
thing?
I have almost no interest in it.
No.
Wait, let me check. I have no interest in it. but it does seem like there's a lot of scrap metal there. And if you're in the scrap metal business, again, all you got to do is move 12 tons.
Did you say you needed somebody strong?
Yeah, man.
I'm around.
Come on, man. Move that thing.
I can do that.
Next. According to research from Harvard Medical School, mother-daughter trips taken once a year can help relieve stress, improve immune responses, decrease the chances of heart disease. Essentially, it shows similar benefits to a full night's sleep and a healthy diet.
Ha!
Researchers had strong relationships and quality time with those people may even help you live longer. Now, we can get double perspective here, a mother and a daughter. If you were to travel with your mom.
We have.
I know you have. That would be, I'm assuming the study is designed this way. Mothers would benefit from this. Daughters would lose their mind. Is that accurate?
I have lost my mind before. I love her dearly. I'd do anything for her. I'd take a bullet for her. But, man, there are those moments where, like, nothing can please her on these trips.
And, Mom, what about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, with my mom or with my daughter?
Well, either.
Yeah, I think the one of the last trips I took with my mom was fantastic, and she was like 91 at the time, and we did a road trip to Toronto for a wedding, and it was the most fun we've ever. It was a blast. And
so then, really special.
But
now,
with my daughter, you have to ask my daughter what she was.
Well, no, but do you enjoy traveling with your daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I
have this, too.
Love it.
Ross and I talked about, right before he got out of school, every spring we'd do a couple days and go play golf or whatever somewhere. Well, he got married and had two kids.
Right.
So it's almost impossible now. And the two kids are the greatest thing ever. I'm not questioning it. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm guessing, I'm just estimating, that father-son trip for he and I probably won't come back for about, how old's Abigail?
Almost four.
Yeah.
14 Isaac, more years, maybe.
Well, see, Isaac is, depending if they have other kids, and they better. I'm thinking I got 20 years before we do that again.
Well, the problem with my mother, God bless her, and not that she enjoys this, but it's just like I end up being the parent as usual. So then I have to plan and think everything. And if one thing goes wrong, then she kind of spirals and thinks, oh, my goodness, this vacation is not fun anymore. And then I have to like talk her off the ledge, and she has to like go tinkle every 15 minutes. So I have to pre-plot on the map where which bathroom she's going to go find and go
to. You should
to.
Never, ever have to pre-plan your mother's pee-pees.
Yes.
No, you shouldn't. also, Bears later with Hamp, and we'll break it down, and Dave will talk about it all morning in sports. Bears won in case you went to bed. Final score, Dave?
31-15.
Hey, Joe Washington. From Marengo, why did B.B. King call it Lucille?
Well, there was a bar he was playing in, and two guys got to fighting, and they knocked over an oil can that they were using for heat, and it caught the bar in fire. And B.B. King ran out, and then he forgot his guitar, and he ran back in for it, and he almost died. And when he found out that two guys were fighting over a girl named Lucille, he decided
That story is so much better than I thought it could be. That's fantastic.
So
your phone's breaking up like crazy, but the two dudes were fighting over a girl named Lucille. He lived to get his guitar, so of course he named it Lucille. All right, Joe, give Joe something. Give
That's
him a new
awesome.
Phone. 6:32. We're going to come back with the headlines after this on 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I've got them on the edge of their seats, don't I? 6:43, tell us about your kid of the week. Go to WGNradio.com/kid of the week. Would seem to make most sense. No, slash contest. And there's a kid of the week tab right there. First, just search kid of the week. If you put kid of the week Cochran into your Google situation, you'll get the kid of the week situation. The good that comes out of a horrible story. Chris Lambert, 34, I believe. It's an officer who a few years ago stopped on a snowy night to deal with an accident, 294 about Willow Road. And a driver not paying attention, or certainly not paying attention enough to follow Scott's law, a law in Illinois I'll tell you about in a second, hit him and killed him. He was a father of one, and a new baby would be born soon that he would never meet. It's just tragic. Tragic, ridiculous. Dumb, and lives get changed in an instant. The 61-year-old man who hit him pled not guilty this spring. He's in court in October to deal with it, and he will go to jail. It's just a matter of how long. So how does that get the kid of the week? It gets the kid of the week this week, this way. Highland Park High School's Giants hockey team, Jack Albaum, Sam Shackman, and Parker, I think it's Hera, are all on the phone right now. Let me start with Jack, because these guys are doing a fundraiser for Chris's family. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, thanks for being on. Are you guys juniors, seniors? How old are you?
We're all three of us are seniors, and we're on the hockey team.
Right. All right. Stand by. We're going to get Parker on here next. Good morning, Parker. You clearly have the coolest name of the three of you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being on, man. And let me get over here to your buddy, Sam. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Let's go in reverse order, Sam. What are you going to do with your life next year? You going to college?
Yes. Not sure what college yet, but I'm applying to schools currently.
Okay, we're going to need an answer before the segment's over, right, Dave? Don't we need to know
it? Yeah, we need to know by 6:48.
Yeah. What do you think you want to do, Sam?
I want to do something in business.
Okay.
Not sure exactly what yet.
I like that call. That's good and vague.
Yep.
Parker, what do you want to do with your life?
Not sure. Planning on heading off to college, too. I think I'm going to start something in finance.
All right. Maybe you could get in business with your buddy Sam.
Yeah, perhaps.
And Jack, what about you?
Just like the two of them, I'm looking to go to college. After that, maybe go into law, maybe politics.
Well, I'll vote for you. I don't even know you yet, Jack, but just based on the character of this story, I'll vote for you. All right, Jack, I'm going to make you the spokesman here. You guys live in the same community where Officer Chris and his family lived. Is that what moved you most about this?
Yeah, that was one of the major factors driving behind why we decided to do this event. After the tragedy, when we heard about it in the news, you would expect the community to have an organized push to help the family. And although there were some individual attempts to help the Lambert family from a variety of groups, we did not see the big organized push to help a fellow community member the way that we would expect. So that was one of the major driving forces behind it, knowing that this is a member of our community. They're a member of our community, and as a result, we did not see the adequate help being provided to them, so we felt as though we were obligated to do something in order to honor Officer Lambert and help out a family who went through a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Sure. One of you guys have your radio on in the background. That might be throwing you off, so just make sure your radio's turned down. Lambert, by the way, Officer Lambert, had finished his shift and was on his way home to his wife, his daughter, and the baby to be when he stopped, because that's what cops do. He saw that there was trouble on the side of the road. He stopped, and he was killed. This fundraiser, Parker, when is it?
This fundraiser is this Saturday, September 28th, from 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Centennial Ice Arena in Highland Park.
And what are you guys going to do? How are you going to raise money?
We've got lots of events planned. We're going to have speeches from Secretary of State Jesse White, Representative Reg Snyder. We're going to have an open skate, DJ, raffles. We're selling bracelets, raffle tickets, as well as our GoFundMe. For those who would like to support but also can't attend the event, our GoFundMe has already reached over $11,000, and that number is still growing today.
Nice. What's the GoFundMe nickname so we can find it?
The GoFundMe is Skate for Scott's Law.
Skate for Scott's Law
fundraiser in honor of Chris Lambert.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Scott's Law was designed for, you know, people your age, because the assumption is you guys don't pay attention when you're driving. You guys are all texting. You guys are goofing around. The dude that hit and killed this officer is 61 years old. Point being, this can happen to anybody. And Scott's Law is pretty specific. Do you know about Scott's Law?
To be honest, I don't think any of the three of us knew about Scott's Law until this event. And that's why we think it's so important that this event has become as much of a fundraiser as it is an educational piece for Scott's Law. And since we are high school students, we've been making as much of a push as we can to educate our entire high school and new drivers about Scott's Law and the importance of it.
It requires drivers in Illinois to slow down and to move over at least one lane when approaching a stopped emergency vehicle or any vehicle with flashing lights. Don't do it. Get a ticket. Fines range from $100 to $10,000. there could be jail time involved as well. That's about as gentle a way as possible that you could say, get your head out of your butt, pay attention to the road, and when there's flashing lights, stop or get out of the way. They're just saying, move up. You know, you got something on the right. I mean, picture that intersection at Willow Road and 294. You got three or four lanes. You got plenty of room to get over. And at night, I don't care how hard it's snowing, you would have seen flashing lights. So this is just an outrageous tragedy, and I really thank you three for stepping up. You are fine young men.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Dave, hit him with the hard one.
Can I ask, I want to ask him a hockey question. You guys, are you line mates? Are you forwards? Are you, wingers? Where do you play?
So me and Jack have been line mates for about how many years? 10, maybe. We've been on the same team for a long time. We have a lot of chemistry when we play together. That's not to say Parker doesn't fit into that system.
So, Parker, why are you the outcast? Why won't they let you play on the same line?
Me and Sam are both centers, so we don't have as much chemistry.
Okay, who's the first line center?
Sam is.
Yeah. Okay, but do you tell your parents you're better than he is when Sam's not listening?
I do, to be honest.
Of course.
You'd be wrong.
Competition matters. That's a good thing. Listen, you guys, I'm proud of you. You're doing a great thing. And remind people again, Jack, if you would, about the fundraiser.
Yeah, so the fundraiser is on September 28th from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at Centennial Ice Arena in Highland Park. And if you cannot attend the event, you can donate and help out in multiple ways. You can go to our GoFundMe page. You can go to our Instagram page, at Skate for Scots. And you can go to our Facebook page. So any of those ways, if you cannot make the event, you can still help out, or you can just raise awareness for Scots Law, because at the end of the day, that's one of our main goals, and it's to raise awareness for Scots Law and to ensure what happened to the Lambert family did not happen to another family.
Did you have a chance, or have you guys had a chance to meet Hallie, his wife and the little daughter? Or actually, his wife and Hallie. Hallie's the little daughter. Hallie Martin, I believe.
Did you guys meet him? Yes, we did. When we started this process of organizing the event, we met with Hallie and her daughter at their house, and then we had one subsequent meeting with them while organizing the event. And one of the striking things to us was that right after Chris's funeral, that's when Hallie found out that she was going to have her second baby, and she just delivered that baby just a few weeks ago, and they're doing well.
God bless her. I'll tell you what, that's manning up right there. The fact that you could go and look that lady in the eye and tell her what you're doing and all of that. A lot of guys wouldn't do that. Even though you're doing the right thing and a great thing, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, and she's extremely appreciative.
I don't doubt it. All right, Jack, Parker, Sam, get your act together. Figure out what you're doing in college. quit goofing around. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you being on. There's three fine guys, yeah. Young men of the week right there.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
They're raffling off a signed Alex DeBrincat jersey. They have a Blackhawks game suite they're going to auction off. Nice.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I just can't stop thinking about Lambert's widow, Hallie. Like, can you imagine her strength? Like, to fight, you know, to be able to
just incredible
pull it together for herself and her two children. And
34-year-old dude coming home after work. He was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just trying to get home. But there's an accident on the side of the road, and he stops. Scott's Law. I mean, it couldn't be easier than this. Slow down. Move over one lane if possible. Pay attention. You see flashing lights. If they're behind you, stop and get out of the way. If they're in front of you, move over so you can get around.
And by the way, if you see someone ahead of you who's in the right lane and is trying to get over, then slow down and let them get over.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how many times I see that where people won't let someone in to move to the left.
Right. Yeah, and I suppose that might be why it's where possible, because there's still a few jerks on the road. Let's all try to get along, people.
Please.
Come on. Before we get to the news at 7, here's the text question of the day. Bruce Springsteen turned 70 yesterday. Who is the greatest artist of all time in music and the most overrated artist of all time?
Oh, two separate questions. You mean
greatest and most overrated?
Okay.
If you don't have both, you can give me an either or.
Because Bruce didn't win a lot of awards, right, for being as amazing as he is.
You know, he's never had a number one hit.
Right. Oh, that's what it was. I know, I saw an article. Dad.
Never had a number one hit.
Look at that.
You know, I'm not Springsteen nuts. I don't travel around the country to see him, but I've seen several concerts. And you get to a point in a Springsteen concert where you go, Bruce, I got to go home. You got to stop singing. You have to stop the concert now. I have to leave.
By the way, I did go see that movie, Blinded by the Light, the one that's inspired by his song. It was really good. That's really touching. Told. Super touching.
Can still get that on demand. But anyway, we'll talk more about Springsteen later. Most overrated artist and the greatest artist of all time.
Does it have to be a singular artist? Could it be a group?
Could be a group.
Dave's getting specific.
Yeah, it could be a group, sure.
Dead or alive, doesn't matter. Yeah.
How about like Bono?
But what do you mean? Overrated?
Yeah.
Oh, you think he's overrated?
Really?
I do.
Controversial. Controversy right out of the gate.
Everybody write Mary Vandeveld, not us. Just like, please tweet her directly.
You know?
Okay. All right. Now, I will tell you right now, Slim Whitman, the greatest artist of all time. Zamfir on the pan flute, the most overrated. There you go. There's an answer right there.
I think anytime you say pan flute.
It's funny.
Nothing.
312-981-7200 is the number. Text question of the day. Most overrated and greatest artists of all time. At 7 o'clock, we come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Yeah! Bruce Springsteen, Hungry Heart. Every time I hear this song, I want to be a disc jockey again. On 720 WGN. It's a skill you never lose. It's also the most useless skill ever.
Being a disc jockey?
Talking up a song.
Oh.
What is it? Hitting the...
Hitting the post.
The post. Yeah, the post.
All right, so starting with you, Mary Vandeveld, greatest artist of all time.
Oh, man.
You've had plenty of time to consider this.
Rolling Stones.
Most overrated artist of all time.
I told you Bono.
Bono, really? Interesting. Interesting. Steve Grzanich.
Oh, I'm going to have to go greatest artist of all time, the Beatles.
And most overrated?
Kenny G.
Yeah.
I love that answer. G, greatest artist of all time.
Going to go with Ray Charles only because you're adding the fact that he's blind and then think about the era he came up in and he still managed to be successful.
And me being a black entertainer,
when you say that.
I'm telling you, I love Ray Charles.
And the
love him.
Most overrated? I was going to say there's so many modern artists, but Vanilla Ice came to mind.
Ice, baby. Dave?
I go along with Steve on the Beatles as being the greatest. Overrated. How about the 1910 Fruit Gum Company?
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy.
That's a good song.
Hey, a one-hit wonder.
Oh, yeah. And they may not get credit for that one. Now let's go to the youngsters. Super Joe, greatest artist of all time.
I'll go Bruce Springsteen as the greatest.
Okay.
And most overrated, I will go with the Beatles.
Wow. Controversial choice.
Mm-hmm. Let's step outside, Joe.
Wait, all of the Beatles or just one particular Beatle?
Oh, George. Yeah.
George?
George was the nice one. George was the nice one.
I liked him the best.
Look at that. Everybody's talking him up. He's overrated.
Vivian, greatest artist of all time?
There I am. I would say Queen.
Queen?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I will say overrated Bono.
Thank you.
Queen and Bono. All right. And
a lot of texters don't like the Bono either.
You guys can't wait for my answer.
Yes, we want to know.
Oh, yes, Steve, suspense. What do you think?
I'm really short on time.
No, come on.
Steve?
Don't leave us hanging.
Most overrated artist of all time, R.E.M.
I like R.E.M.
Well, you're wrong.
Shiny, happy people.
Losing your religion?
Yes. They're an annoying band.
They are not. They make me happy.
Incredibly annoying, and they all need decongestants. Who's that lead singer who's had a sinus infection his entire career?
Forgot his name.
Oh, my God.
And greatest, Stipe.
Yeah, Michael Stipe. Michael Stipe.
Mike, that's it.
Greatest, and he's a nice guy, actually, but I just can't stand R.E.M. And the greatest artist of all time, I'm torn, but I'm going Billy Joel.
My era.
I think that's a good. That was my other choice.
Is it just because people confuse you for Billy Joel
or Elton John?
Yeah, I get a lot of credit for that. Yeah, they think I'm the older, nearly dead Billy Joel. Here's a couple things you didn't know about Bruce Springsteen as he turned 70. Barack Obama, a huge Springsteen fan. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
He said he ran for president because he'd never be Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Did he use one of his songs as his theme song?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Dr. Ruth once gave Bruce Springsteen her number and said, if you ever need advice, call me. And he allegedly said, it's going to be tough to get the word contraception into a song. Because really, what does it rhyme with? One of the most underrated artists of all time is Warren Zevon, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. He's an incredible songwriter.
He was close friends with Springsteen.
Ah.
Yeah.
He was an incredible
boy. I didn't know about Warren Zevon until a friend of mine who is a huge Bob Dylan fan introduced me to Warren Zevon a couple of years ago.
Introduced you as in met him or just told you about him?
No, just told me about him because I didn't even know he existed.
He's so much more than Werewolves of London, even though that is a great song.
I'm surprised nobody has mentioned Elvis yet.
For either side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Bruce Springsteen facts. Let's see what else I got here. Some of the girls in high school approached the administration with a petition demanding that Bruce's high school band, the Castiles, be given more respect. How about that for a petition drive in the 60s? First song he ever learned to play on his guitar was a Beatles song. And there really is an E Street. It runs northeast through the New Jersey shore town of Belmar. According to Springsteen lore, the band took its name from the street because the original keyboard player's mother lived there and allowed the band to rehearse at the house. Kind of a tribute there.
Very nice.
And 10th Avenue Freeze-Out, first song that Steven Van Zandt featured in. Of course, he was the E Street Band forever. And The Sopranos, where we finally got to see his hair. You don't remember Steven Van Zandt, The Sopranos? He was Tony's right-hand man. Well, he was the guy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. 718, we'll come back and hit some of the listener texts here in a bit. Also, the MVPP on the way.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Texters are blowing up over this. Greatest artist of all time, most overrated, Springsteen's 70th birthday week. By the way, my favorite Springsteen fact, the Muppets have a character named Bruce Stringbean, and they covered two Springsteen songs, Barn in the USA, B-A-R-N, and Born to Add, which I assume was Born to A-D-D, right?
Sure.
Can you hear that, right?
That is so adorable. Bruce Stringbean.
Here's a few texters. 815, The King, Michael Jackson, best ever. 773, The Doors, the best. U2, overrated. 630, The Greatest, Whitney Houston, most overrated, Michael Jackson. 815, Bono, so overrated. I like Bono. I do. 847, definitely Jimmy Buffett, definitely. I don't know if that's overrated or greatest. Yeah,
which I agree with that.
Since
one
he's
too.
A friend of the show,
yeah.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest.
630, Bon Jovi, overrated. 219, Creedence, beyond overrated, followed by The Who. Yeah, I'm not a big Who guy either. You like The Who?
Okay.
What did they sing?
A lot.
Oh, I hope Coach Q is listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to pretend to
he's
like
tied up in Miami. 847, Willie Nelson. Again, I assume that means greatest. Could be overrated. 630, overrated U2. Greatest Queen, Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about this. This would have been a tie for me. Greatest from the 770, Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Prince
yeah,
and Billy
that's your
Joel.
Friend.
I almost
that's
said
your
a
friend.
Friend.
Yeah, I know,
almost sure. said him, actually.
Prince and Billy Joel. That's my new answer. That's a tie for first.
Okay.
Most overrated Michael Jackson and 815 Elton John. So it's just a handful.
I almost picked Elton John. That would be my second.
Let's do the MVPP.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
Lee Cambada. Am I pronouncing your last name right? Lee? Hi there.
Good morning.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
You are correct, yes.
All right, Lee Cambada. You're a metastatic breast cancer patient. Explain what that means.
Yeah, so I have, so being metastatic, having metastatic breast cancer means that you have breast cancer in other parts of your body. So I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer in May 2017, and went through treatment, came out in remission for about 6 months, and last year in September 14th, my cancer came back and was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. And so it is in my lymph nodes and also in my chest muscles as of today. But other people can have it in their livers, brains, bones, other organs as well, other women and men.
Now, you're 33, right?
I am. I'm 33.
And you got a 3-year-old son. You live with your husband.
Do.
You sound like you're an amazingly positive person. How do you do that, considering how scary all this is?
I just live for every day. I know there's always the YOLO quote, but to me, it is, we live every day. We only die once, but we live every day. And so I live every day to do more and to do the best that I can for me and my husband and my family. And this, to me, isn't a death sentence. It's a life sentence. It has given me so much courage and so much grit and positivity, and to just really spread the word about metastatic research and so much about so many other things.
Well, God bless you. You're an inspiration to me. Now, I think it's important to note, you found the original problem because you were doing a self-check, right?
Correct, yes. I had been, you know, there's so much amazing awareness out there that women, we need to be checking our breasts. We need, and men too, we need to be checking our breast tissue for any lumps, just things that are changing. You know, there is a saying out there in the breast cancer community, in the breast community, check them on the first. It's easy to remember on the first day of the month, check them. I found a lump a little bit right before Mother's Day. It felt disconcerting to me. Went to my doctor. She said it was disconcerting to her. And then from there on, I had a biopsy, a mammogram, and we quickly found out it was cancer. The worst thing that it can be is cancer. The best thing it can just be a cyst. It could just be a weird tissue change. But, you know, you'd rather get it checked out and taken care of as quickly as possible.
And if you think there's a problem, trust your inner voice and go find out there isn't. You know, get to a doctor and find out. It's not, you thinking there's a problem isn't going to go away by denial. Denial is deadly.
It can get worse, and it can spread depending on the type of cancer, especially my type that is the most aggressive type of breast cancer. It can spread very quickly. So just get it checked out. Going through chemo and radiation and surgery was exhausting year. But I'm here today, even with metastatic cancer, because I got it checked out.
Husband must be a good guy, too, huh?
He's pretty amazing. He has been my support system through everything. I think he has not gone to maybe 3 of my treatments, and I have been in treatment basically for 2 years, but he always makes sure that someone is with me because he doesn't want me to feel ever alone in this process.
Is the demand for attention and how much you love that little 3-year-old helpful?
Oh, my God. He is my shining star every day. Getting teary-eyed just thinking about him, knowing that he's just downstairs right now. Downstairs eating breakfast right now. He keeps me going on days that I don't want to go. And he is so empathic. Like, he comes and cuddles. He hates when I wear hospital bracelets, so we cut them off before we get
home.
He is just the sweetest little boy there is in the world.
Well, I've got a granddaughter who's almost 4. I don't know if she's a cougar yet, but I'm sure they'd be a cute couple. Tell people about the Great Pink Run.
Yes, the Great Pink Run is on October 5th. It is a huge breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer research race. It is its first year here, and has been going in Ireland for a couple of years now. I want to say at least 5 years. It is will be at, like I said, on the 5th at Diversity Harbor. We want everyone to come, men, women, children. My whole family is coming. My husband and I will be walking it. There is a 5K and a 10K. We have Irish Olympian Sonia O'Sullivan, who will be leading the 10K. Dina Bear from WGN will be leading the 5K. She is a breast cancer survivor. We are so excited to have both of them.
I love Dina,
Yeah, so we want people to come out. If you're unable to come out, you can donate as well. All the money
for this race goes to the Ludwig Cancer Center at the University of Chicago, and they are one of the leading specialists in metastatic breast cancer research, and that is where we are going to find the cure for breast cancer, is in research and drug trials. I am lucky to be on a drug trial right now and having huge success with my tumor shrinking and staying stable and not spreading. Great. So if we can continue with these research, we want to. So we want people to come out and run the race with us, but also donate. And so you can go to greatpinkrun.com and sign up and join us.
Greatpinkrun.com. It's that simple. Please help. And in the meantime, I've taken enough of your time. So go play with your kid.
Thank you.
God bless you. We're pulling for you every day.
Thank you so much. And you have a wonderful night.
That's Lee Cambata. How about that attitude, huh? Right? You're whining about traffic this morning.
Yeah.
You're concerned because you don't feel so good. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep. Suck it up. Lee Cambata.
Fantastic.
And by the way, I was talking to me. All of that.
I know. Yeah.
So, Tom is on the phone. Then we got to get to the news. Tom, yes, you know about Bruce Stringbean?
Longtime listener. Love your show. I know you appreciate accuracy being an award-winning show.
Absolutely.
So Muppets Born to Add actually was sung to the Born to Run Bruce Springsteen song.
Sure, that makes more sense. Well done. Of course, Born to Run. It wasn't born in the ad. How dare I, Tom? Thank you for that.
And I'm guessing,
all right, have a great day.
I'm guessing it was about addition?
Yeah, of course. And here's
math?
The thing. Here's the thing. I am wondering if they're even going to let me into Dorothy the Goldfish's surprise birthday party from Elmo's World if I make a mistake like that again.
I know. You got a demerit.
We need a break. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
You got, what, 9 months off and to come back in shape and get ready to go for 16 games? You got to let everything that you have out every play, even if you're special teams players. When you're out there, everything has to come out on you on every single play, offense, defense. That's how you become a world champion. You don't let up.
An animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by Chevy. DriveChicago.com. Dan Hampton joins us, the Hall of Famer, after working double duty last night, of course. Hamp, you know what last night's game reminded me of? And obviously we're all glad they won. Do you remember we were kids in the three-channel universe, and sometimes you'd have to smack your TV, and it would clear up the snow, and the white noise would go away, and the picture would come back, and then a little while later you'd have to smack it again? That's what it felt like last night.
I know, and sometimes we have to do that to Mark Carmen to get him kind of straightened up. But, you know, there's some good stuff. And, you know, I used to hate these kind of games. You know, it's kind of like a temperature check. You know, okay, are you still breathing? You know, we should just roll in and you know, pound the Redskins. They're not very good. But there was some good stuff, you know. Clinton Dix, Licks, Tick Six, that was a good thing. The enabler kept the quarterback from derailing the offense. You know, at some point, you're going to have to say he still bothers, you know, you when you watch him, you know, make inaccurate throws. Mm-hmm. But there was a six-minute session there in the second quarter where he threw three touchdowns, and that's good stuff. So, all in all, a win's a win's a win, and you know, we got to ice our hand down. We had to hit the TV a little bit. But, hey, we move on. We get ready for the Vikings.
Let's talk about the defense, Hamp, because Khalil Mack, I mean, we saw a lot of this last year, the way he can impact a football game. It's really remarkable. And it just seemed like he, right from the start last night, there were like two Khalil Macks out there. The guy's unbelievable.
He has a very uncanny ability. You know, Richard Dent used to have that kind of ability where, and I don't mean to, cast aspersions, but come on, that first sack, the two tight ends, their starting tight end is out. Right. They had some kind of a phony baloney, tight end coming back in motion that was supposed to pick him up,
the tight end looked like he didn't even care about trying to block.
So he really did.
There was a lot of things that happened, but he has this innate ability to be around the ball and affect the game. And, you know, knocking the ball out of the quarterback's hands, those are great things. And when we got him a year ago, I said, hey, you know, I've watched this kid. He's as good as I've seen in 30 years, and he has not disappointed. But, you know, sooner or later, you gotta think that other teams are going to start. And, you know, the announcers last night were saying, I don't understand it. This guy's been a defensive player of the year. How do you put a backup offensive lineman on him and single block him? You need to, like, chip. But it's, you know, as long as the opponents want to, you know, play brain dead and allow him to make these kind of plays, I'm all for it. Now, let's talk about the secondary. You know, last year the secondary was kind of under the radar and in a lot of ways because, you know, the Khalil Mack and then Akeem Hicks, you know, made the Pro Bowl and a lot of good stuff. But I've got to tell you, those guys in the backfield have picked up where they left off. And even though, you know, Kyle Fuller kind of plays a little soft every once in a while, Mukamara had a couple of penalties. They are very, very, very good. And we're gonna need that. The Minnesota Vikings, their two starting wide receivers are like, you know, A+. Thielen and Diggs, and we will need them at their best this coming Sunday. So it was great to see not only the defense kind of thrive and get, you know, five turnovers, but the secondary. The secondary, you know, the front guys, that's all effort and getting rambunctious and you know, making trouble for an offense. But the secondary, you've got to be – you know, pretty well schooled and stay in your breaks and your routes and squat on the certain receiver. All those things, hey, they're pretty much right where we need them as we get closer to the meat of our schedule.
Stan Hampton, Hall of Famer, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'd like to see a little more David Montgomery. I'd like to see a little Tariq Cohen mixed in a little more. We got all the tools. And with that defense continuing to set up the offense, yeah, the kid got better. He got better. The second quarter, great. Who's that wide out that caught three TDs, Dave? That kid was
Taylor
good.
Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel. Where'd he come from?
And that last one.
That was a Steve Cochran like circus catch.
It was. It was reversed by after video review. Gabriel was a good receiver last year. But you know, with him and Robinson, there are some weapons here, but it was a different looking offense.
Well, the old line and embarrassment of riches, kind of comes to mind. Think about this. I mean, we know Robinson is what you would call your primary, you know, your 1A guy, but yep. Taylor Gabriel and then you got Cohen and some of Wims and some of these other guys were in most of the fourth quarter. I'm just saying this, and you go back to Trubisky, and okay, his numbers were pretty good, 25-31. Most of the passes, though, were about the length of the studio there, 6 yards at the most, 8 yards maybe. And there's only so much you can do with that. You know, you gotta be pretty creative just to kind of keep everything close to the vest. Sooner or later, we're going to start throwing the ball down the field. And the more you throw those balls on those little short routes, your crossing routes, the speed screens, you're going to get your receivers beat up. And Gabriel left the game because of a concussion. So, you know, all these things kind of go into a big ball, and you kind of manage it. And at some point, you go, wow, you know, we were kind of expecting more, but it was enough. It was enough to get this thing done, get back home, start getting ready for the Vikings. So we beat the Vikings, get to 3-1, and then the Raiders, 4-1. We would be just about where we wanted to be when the season started.
Yeah.
So they
good point.
They kind of
climbed out of the wreckage and put themselves back on a pretty good track.
Having said that, get in the film room, keep improving, work hard in practice. Let's see, 4 weeks in the preseason, we're in week three. It seems like preseason play would have got him in the groove a little sooner. But, you know, I haven't brought that up before. Hamp, we'll talk to you later in the week. Get a little Vikings prep out of you, but go Bears.
Go Bears.
There you go. That's the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton.
Dave, you didn't tell him about the kitchen, that you wanted the kitchen cleaned up.
No. I
Dave's smart. He fears him just like the rest of us.
Dave, I put you in charge of that.
No, is it a mess? I didn't even notice.
That's not.
It was because I cleaned it up.
Well, thank God you're here, Mary. Because you know I wouldn't have done it.
Well, do you want to smell those beans all morning?
They had beans?
Wow, they were like...
I don't know what...
The
food was left.
Beans.
I think they were trying to be generous and share
in the refrigerator.
Why would you give mammals that size beans?
And a salad. The mac and cheese was in the middle. Right, and that was pretty well eaten.
Mal's going to have to be a meeting. Another one I won't attend.
Can I make an admission?
What's that?
I took a bite of the macaroni and cheese this morning.
Oh, man.
Okay, listen, you got to do what you got to do.
For hours.
It was not that long.
Oh, yeah, crank this up. You know what this is? One of the greatest Springsteen songs of all time. That's it. Happy birthday, Bruce. Turned 70. It was Cadillac Ranch. 720 WGN. See, you did the music change there? That's a different way to hit the post. And you get off the ramp a little bit. You get off the ramp so people can enjoy it. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to shut up now. Love this song. Happy 70th birthday to Bruce Springsteen. Text question. Greatest artist of all time, most underrated. Stevie Wonder, the greatest. Well, Stevie Wonder is great. He's great. Showtime's got a Motown documentary on. I'd highly recommend it. Stevie Wonder prominently featured. 312. I'll never understand the cult around Tom Waits. Tom Waits makes Bob Dylan sound like he can sing. How dare you, Steve? 815, Elvis the most overrated because he didn't write any of his music. I didn't know that. Elvis didn't write anything?
I didn't know that.
815, Madonna definitely overrated. 630, Elton John the greatest, overrated the Beatles.
No.
Oh, they agreed with Joe, Super Joe's.
630, Taylor Swift way overrated. 630, the best Bob... Seger is great. Seger's tremendous. Most overrated, Kiss. Kiss would tell you they're overrated. Just keep buying their stuff. 920, it says overrated Jim Harbaugh. Wait, wrong poll.
Yeah.
Springsteen best, most overrated Kanye West. I don't know. I mean, Kanye is nuts, but it's hard to beat Gold Digger. You know what I'm saying? 630 as well, Pearl Jam. When Generation X's pack Wrigley every few summers to see Eddie Vedder. They act like the band still has relevance. Unfortunately, the early 90s are in the rearview mirror. In terms of lasting influence, all Pearl Jam did was inspire Creed and Nickelback.
I don't hate Pearl Jam.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Wow, they're really...
Well, that's the beauty of music.
Yes.
You're entitled to your own.
Yes, you are.
Indeed, yes. But, not saying they're not entitled to their opinion, but just...
You know what's saying it wrong.
No, I feel like there's a story behind this. Something happened between them and Pearl Jam.
You know what name I don't think we've heard?
Who's that?
Sinatra? Have we heard Sinatra?
We have not heard Sinatra.
I saw a text on it, I believe. Yeah.
If you say Sinatra's name, Tom Dreesen will appear. Right.
Best entertainer, Sinatra.
Oh, Sinatra. Sinatra was Elvis before Elvis, and Michael Jackson before Michael Jackson.
And then they said for female, Judy Garland.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. We used to play this when we were still in the Tribune Tower in the winter. Dino remembered us. We were having a Michigan Avenue freeze out. They eventually just stopped turning the heat on. Happy 70th birthday, Bruce, yesterday. Dean, can you believe Springsteen 70? Me either. No, Dean?
He seems forever young to me. Bruce Springsteen looks good for 70.
Has he had some work? He looks like he might have had some work.
You think so?
I don't know. I saw a picture of him yesterday. It kind of looks like it.
Oh, really? I got to Google
Springsteen's
it.
Had work?
It kind of looks like it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Grzanich is starting
Maybe
rumors.
It's just a little bit of Botox, but it looks there's something there.
I'm ready for Botox. Mm. We all need Botox.
Yeah, I could use them, too.
Really?
Yeah. Can we get show Botox? I know we're getting flu shots. Can Dr. Most also bring some Botox?
I don't know. Dean, would you be up for Botox?
I did a segment on it for TV once.
Did you have it?
And I had some in my forehead. It hurt. You know, because they're injecting you with little needles.
And your forehead can't smile anymore?
Several needles in it, and I didn't notice any difference.
Hmm. I had some on the Frank Fontana show.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Yeah, about 6 months ago.
Well, Botox on the radio.
Yeah, it was. Judy Pilak was with me and Wendy.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, we had it done, and I think it looks a little better, except my husband thinks I have a shiny forehead now.
How long does it
That's
last?
That's why he made me get the bangs.
Your husband didn't make you get bangs. You chose to get bangs.
I did choose to get bangs. I think it's
Mary's
about...
trying to claim she has a controlling husband.
No, he just never says things like that. So I'm like, wow, maybe I'll think about it.
Yeah, but you look great.
Anyway, I think the Botox did work, but I'm not getting it again. No,
I don't think Springsteen has had anything done.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't want to think of my boss as being vain in any way.
No, he looks weathered enough.
So I went into the plastic surgeon... And I said to the plastic surgeon,
I need a tummy tuck.
I'm thinking maybe a breast lift and a tummy tuck.
I just want to say our Bruce Springsteen impersonation sounds exactly like our Bob Dylan.
No, I don't think so. Dylan's a little bit of this. Dylan's a little higher. Hey, Bruce, who knew I'd see you here at the plastic surgeon? That's what it would be. And the queen would be there as well. Oh, hello, gentlemen.
It's Steve's puppet show.
I should get puppets.
Oh, my gosh. I would come to that show.
Yeah, Howard Stern has puppets. Why can't I have puppets?
This is like Mr. Rogers. Let's go to Steve's land of make-believe.
Okay, I just Googled a pic of Bruce.
Yeah.
And he was shirtless on the beach. He looks good.
He's right? In great shape. Yeah, some great shit. Dean, a text question in honor of Mr. Springsteen this week. Best group, most incredible artist of all time, or solo, and most overrated. Your best and your most overrated. Think about it for a second. Michael Jackson, 815. Michael Jackson, the best. Britney Spears, overrated. Gutsy calling Britney Spears. 224. McCartney for both.
Oh,
what? How can that be?
I could see that.
We've had a bunch of people say the Beatles are overrated.
How can they be the greatest and also the overrated?
Perspective.
Either you think one or the other.
630, Bob Dylan, most overrated.
I agree with that.
How dare you? I think I'm just killing it with the Dylan. I really do. Greatest.
I think you just need more fiber.
somebody pass the Benefiber.
He's a thinker.
630, the Beatles, greatest artist of all time, most overrated, Tiny Tim. Again, gutsy call. Queen, greatest of all time. And I made a mistake earlier. Dave sang the entire song, Yummy, 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 I Got Love in My Tummy.
Yep.
I said it was a 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Do you know who it is?
Yummy, Yummy is the Ohio
Exactly.
Ohio Express.
The Ohio Express.
Not Ohio Players. Ohio
I didn't even know that
Vivian,
was a
look
real
that up
song.
For me. 1910 Fruit Gum Company, they had a hit in something.
Simple Simon, I believe, was their song.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh. Well, look at you two showing off.
Simple Simon says, da, 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 da.
Man, Bono is getting killed. There's a lot of people who think Bono's overrated. Greatest artist of all time, Beatles or Prince, most overrated, Grateful Dead. Yes. Yes.
Grateful
yes.
Dead, for sure.
Yes.
Was it just because so many people are devoted followers?
I don't
Deadheads?
Understand the Dylan thing, and I don't understand the Grateful Dead thing.
Because now John Mayer, he's playing with them, right?
Isn't oh, he? Good, because they need someone else to play a 45-minute guitar solo. Comedian friend of mine had a great joke. He said, you know how you keep Grateful Dead fans busy at a concert? Toss them a frisbee. They'll be happy for hours.
What about Coldplay? Are they underrated or overrated?
See, I don't hate Coldplay, but it's popular to hate Coldplay.
I like Coldplay.
Yeah. Most overrated, Pink Floyd. 616-708. Aretha, the greatest. Well, amen. She's tremendous.
Well, the thing about music is, it's when did it get introduced in your life? Like, what was going on in your life when you heard this album or this artist, you know? That's why it's meaningful for you, or you hate it. You love it or you hate it?
No, but I've been around it my whole life because when I was a disc jockey, I had to swim in it.
Yeah.
Dean and I were disc jockeys.
What about David Bowie? Overrated, underrated?
I'm not a David Bowie fan, but I think he's appropriately rated. I think he was, you know, he's a great artist.
Paul McCartney was on Stephen Colbert last night. Amazing interview, by the way. But they were talking about, you know, the legendary Beatles songs and these legendary songs. And the subject came up of it's not just a song's value as a song of what you're hearing. It's what's going on in your own life at that time.
Well, that's what you're talking about, right?
That makes that makes a song even a song or an artist even more meaningful.
But if it's an artist that spans years, your life changes. And I think then that's a tribute to the artist that they hold up for you.
Yeah, man.
More overrateds, Guns N' Roses, Elvis Costello, and Jay-Z. I agree with all three of those. Jay-Z's not overrated at the bank, though.
But then what
got
about
a $1 billion?
What about like new artists who weren't even like singers to start off with, like Cardi B? How do you guys feel
overrated.
About Dean, how do you feel about Cardi
B? Great entertainer, overrated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And maybe the greatest band of all time yet to be mentioned, Parliament and Funkadelic, tear the roof off the sucker. Flashlight! Dean, most overrated?
For me, most overrated, Neil Young.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard my Neil Young?
Oh. No. I only love that Harvest Moon.
I can
Moon.
Just imagine.
The Harvest Moon
Dylan
is
like.
The only album I really know of.
Never been a, I know a lot of people love him. Sorry. I have never. I have a physical reaction when I hear his music. It makes me sick.
I gotta tell you, the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young thing. I mean, yeah, nice harmonies. Who cares? I don't get it either.
What about the Eagles? Underrated or
what? Oh, I love the Eagles.
Eagles are
fantastic. Eagles. Okay. How dare you?
I'm asking the question.
My greatest, without a doubt, Tina Turner.
Oh, Tina Turner's tremendous. We were just talking about her off the air.
Yeah, Steve said he took inspiration from her high heels and also tried to wear high heels and dance.
I saw her in the 80s when she was the... I almost swore. I saw her in the 80s when she was the S-word. And she had 5-inch heels dancing all over the stage.
And those legs.
Oh, tremendous. Tremendous.
I saw her. I can't remember if it was the United Center or someplace I saw her. And she's dancing in these ridiculous stiletto heels, which was amazing.
Yeah, they
But at a point, a part of the stage lifts off the platform like a crane, swings out above the audience. Couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 feet wide. And it's like a runway above the audience.
And she's still doing it.
And she's still doing it, dancing, no handrails, no nothing. She's just out there going wild.
I would have been in sneakers on hands and knees crying for someone to help me.
Mommy!
What about Lady Gaga? Underrated, overrated?
Great artist.
I think Gaga is amazing.
Great artist.
Me too, I agree.
I think she is amazing. I've seen her in big arenas.
She might be underrated.
As a musician, she definitely is.
Yeah,
I've seen her just on the piano, smaller venues, acoustic shows with Tony Bennett. She is an amazing musician. It doesn't get enough credit for it, but the big shows, she brings it, you know, for her big shows as well.
Well, many people have said the same thing about Dean and I and Moron Entertainment. We're so much more than a meat dress.
Where do you guys perform? We've been waiting for this.
Here.
Every morning.
8:22, we'll come back. Here's the list. Tom Hanks, McCartney, Jonah Hill, Oprah, who doesn't want a little more Texas Walker Ranger guy? Did I get that tease wrong?
That was close enough.
Is it Walker, Texas Ranger?
I believe it's Walker, Texas.
Yeah, you were a Texas Walker Ranger.
Yeah, I'm lucky I got any letters on the page at all.
Back with after this. That's why we call it Moron Entertainment.
You'll be calling his name.
All right, back with Moron Entertainment. I want to fly through this so we can get to the McCartney clip. Jonah Hill in Batman?
It's going to be a villain in this new movie that's going to be coming out in 2021.
What is he, Pudgy Guy? What's his villain name?
They haven't announced which villain he will play yet.
Pudgy. Maybe the Penguin.
Oh,
he could be the Penguin.
Superhero social media is guessing either the Riddler or the Penguin. So we'll find out. But he's not signed yet, but he's apparently very close to co-starring with Robert Pattinson, who will be the new Batman.
What about Big Boned?
Big Boned the villain?
Big Boned the villain. Supernatural's star, one of the stars of Supernatural, is doing what?
Jared Padalecki, who played Sam on the long-running CW show, Already has a new gig lined up. He's going to be starring as Walker, Texas Ranger.
Thank God. Lord knows we need it.
This is the latest reboot coming from CBS that already has Magnum, Hawaii Five-0, and MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody has any new ideas at all in Hollywood right now. They have to keep bringing back the old show.
There is one new one, Murder, she texted, because nobody writes anymore.
That's a good.
Oprah bringing back the book club?
Oprah is going to be bringing back the book club. She announced it on Ellen's show yesterday. it's going to be on this new Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus, Apple's new streaming service. Because this company is barely scraping by. You know, nobody is using the Apple products at all.
No.
So Oprah's going to be part of this whole thing. That's going to launch on November the 2nd. She also, on this interview yesterday, talked about a lot of things. But talked about how she thought she had a cold about a month or so ago. It got worse. Found out she had pneumonia, that she was walking around with pneumonia.
How dare pneumonia.
And you get pneumonia. You get pneumonia. You get pneumonia.
Pneumonia and Oprah? How dare pneumonia attack Oprah?
She was on. She was grounded by her doctor, was on antibiotics, and thank God she's okay now.
No, pneumonia can't beat Oprah. Tom Hanks getting another award. That's good. He's never gotten one.
This was just announced this morning. He's going to be getting the Hollywood Foreign Press Association Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Oh, the Lifetime Achievement
That's
thing.
Their Lifetime Achievement Award that they give out at the Golden Globes. And
it's mandatory that right after you receive that award, within a month you have to die.
Well, that's not exactly. Oprah got it.
Is that right? I must
Meryl
be wrong
Streep
about
got
that.
Got it. De Niro got it.
Is he pretty young to be getting the award?
No, it's a career thing.
It's. I think it's more a career achievement award more than lifetime achievement. But.
And McCartney was great on Colbert. You got a clip?
It's a fantastic interview. He was on just about the whole show. So go on Colbert's YouTube page to watch the interview if you're a fan. But they talked about, in the theater where Colbert does his show is the Ed Sullivan Theater, where the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. They talked about that history, talked about his love and missing John Lennon, talked about lots of things, but also about the legacy of some of the greatest songwriting in the history of the world.
Do you know the Korean pop band BTS?
Yeah.
Okay, they're the biggest thing on the planet right now.
So I've heard.
And when we had them on, I asked them this question, Jim. You are the first group, as I said before, to earn 3 number one albums in less than a year since the Beatles. Do you guys have favorite Beatles songs?
No.
Pretty impressive.
That's it.
What do you think it is about your music that transcends geographic and language barriers so that those 7 guys would just jump up and start the na-na-nas?
Easy lyrics.
That's true.
Such a great response. Such a great response.
Very cool.
Yeah. Watch the interview. If you're a Beatles fan, you got to watch this interview. He was so good last night.
All right. That's more on entertainment for today. We will come back and try to be more moronic tomorrow. Thank you.
See you then.
And headlines are next on 720 WGN. From The Rising, I think, right? The post 9/11 album. That'll make you cry. Some of the greatest stuff Springsteen ever did. The week of his 70th birthday.
It's raining, but there ain't a cloud in the sky. Must have been a tear from your eye. Everything will be okay.
Waiting on a sunny day. There's a guy named Jack Brewer. He used to play in the NFL. What's he doing with the rest of his life? Well, you know, we hear a lot of empty talk about prison reform and things. How about actually talking to prisoners about the rest of their life and giving them valuable work skills? That seems like a pretty good thing for Jack Brewer to do. Good morning, Mr. Brewer.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're fine. And a mutual friend of ours told me about you. And I said, well, we're going to talk to him on the radio.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. You know, it's... sometimes those guys behind bars are forgotten, and then all of a sudden they show up back in our neighborhoods and our communities, and they don't have anything to do. So, you know, I'm trying to do whatever I can, man, to spread the word, build the awareness, but more importantly, you know, help some of those underserved people that need it.
You got a tie to the prison community in some way? You just a good guy or a little bit of both?
You know what, man? First off, I give all my glory to God, man. You know, and the Bible tells us to help try to free the imprisoned man and bring good news to the poor. And that's what I try to do each and every day of my life. But, you know, as a 7-8-year-old little boy, you know, I started to go visit my cousins in prison, seeing some of the guys that were my heroes as a little guy, seeing them locked up behind bars. And it always bothered me. You know, it bothered me that, you know, I got cousins that are now 50 years old and they spent over 30 years of their life in prison.
Right.
And these are, in my opinion, good guys that just, you know, made bad mistakes selling drugs and doing things like that and, you know, nonviolent crimes and we're locking people up, you know, for the better part of their lives. And, you know, most of these human beings are coming from our communities in places where, you know, they don't have, you know, usually don't have fathers in the house. You know, we have a fatherlessness crisis here in our country where, you know, 77% of black men are born with no father in the house. You know, that's a sad, sad number, man.
Well, Jack, we love that you're doing this work because it makes sure that the time spent in prison is also a bit about rehabilitation, because it sounds like with prison recidivism rates nationally, about 76% of all inmates end up back in jail within 5 years. So you're kind of helping to fight that issue.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, you brought up a really important topic for everyone to understand. You know, just that word recidivism is something that a lot of folks can't pronounce it, but they don't know what it means. And that's, you know, the rate in which a person reenters prison. And you said 76%. That number is so high. Just think about it. So in our prisons now, a lot of them, you know, these inmates are going in there and they're not allowed to get their GED or advanced education unless it's, you know, 1 or 2 years before they're released. So if they get a 10-year sentence and a kid's 18 years old when he gets there, you know, they basically sit there and let their minds rot. And so, you know, I really learned a lot. I was totally against private prisons. And one of my good friends just talked me into going to visit a private prison. Mm-hmm. It was ran by a company called Geo Group. I went in that prison and I saw what they were doing with those inmates. And I saw, you know, programs from HVAC to helping guys get their degrees, to helping these guys learn, understand trades, and just really a push away from the old incarceration model to right. The new rehabilitation model. Because most of these people in prison have mental health issues. I mean, very bad. And so, you know, I started looking at my own life and saying, hey, if my kid had a mental health problem, would I really care if he went to a public or private place? No, I'd put him in the best place possible.
Exactly.
Oh, and I know when I had cancer in my throat, and I went to a private hospital because it was the best hospital possible, but yet we treat our prison population different. And so, you know, working with the Geo Group has shown me that, just seeing and understanding how they run their prisons and talking to the inmates. And that's really the fire behind my message, is I promised all those inmates that I would go out and tell their stories. And I've talked to hundreds. I teach programs now throughout the prisons across the country. But these guys are telling me, you know, they're in these state prisons and they're being treated like animals. All of a sudden they go to a GO private prison and they're given all these opportunities to learn, and it's motivating them. And then you look at the numbers. In the state of Georgia, GO Group's recidivism rate is 16% compared to that national average you just mentioned. In the state of Florida, it's 21% compared to that 76% national number that you just mentioned. And so it's working. You know, we just got to stop bashing in private prisons so much and actually take some time to understand the system and focus on helping the people that are behind bars.
Well, and as you said, it was a learning curve for you, because I don't understand the negativity about prison for profit when profit creates good citizens that go back out into the workforce. You know, profit in businesses happens all the time. If we can help create prisoners who turn into good citizens after they did their time, isn't that the point?
That is the point. I don't care how much Mount Sinai made off of my surgery. I just hope that they got the cancer out of my neck.
There you go. That's exactly right. All right, so how do we help?
You're doing it right now. We have a documentary that I have poured my soul into, and I'm going to release this in 2020, probably the first quarter of 2020, and just spreading the word, man. This is so important. You got so many listeners that you have that trust you all and are loyal, and just understanding what's going on. Our documentary is called Tackling Recidivism, and I'm going deep into the prisons, and you're going to hear stories from inmates. We're going to look at policy changes. We're going to dive into the First Step Act and show everybody about how the First Step Act and Second Chance Act that was passed by President Trump has really made a positive impact, you know, on communities of color across this country. And just talk to the inmates and hear these stories, and you'll see that there's a lot of good people behind bars, man. And it's just, you know, they made a mistake. They were trying to feed their family. They were selling some drugs, or, you know, they made a mistake and stole something, and now all of a sudden it's robbery. You know, it's those cases, and we've all made mistakes. I know me. I've probably done a few things in my life that if I had gotten caught or someone had twisted the facts a little bit, I may have ended up behind bars. And so, you know, we all got to remember we're humans first, and you know, we're a God-fearing nation. We're built under God, and God tells us to forgive and help our underserved. And so that's what we're trying to do. I got a lot of great people helping me with this documentary, from Ray Lewis, Hall of Famer, to Keo Spikes. I got several of high-profile professional athletes, why we're calling the documentary Tackling Recidivism.
Well, thanks, man. And thanks for the work you're doing. Thanks for taking the time in your life to try to change the world in a positive way. And once you get that documentary out, you come back and plug it.
I will do that. We're our brothers and sisters keepers, and I appreciate you.
All right. God bless, man. There you go. Jack Brewer doing something to change the world. And it's a nice legacy, too, to his cousins that he saw when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
So it's a gutsy move.
It's a great story.
$8.57, 70th birthday week for Bruce Springsteen. Remember this? Son, take a good look around. This is your hometown.
8 years old and running with a dime in my hand. To the bus stop to pick up a paper for my old man. Sit on his lap, that big old Buick steers as we drove through town. Tassel my hair. Say something, take a good look around. This is your hometown.
I did some show prep last night and found a ton of lists of Springsteen songs and stuff I've forgotten, stuff I never knew. There's actually a list called the Top 100 Songs of Bruce Springsteen, which means, by extension, he's written at least 100 songs.
That seems so crazy to think about. You would think it would be like
100 songs.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be like top 25 or top 10. I love I'm on Fire. That's one of my favorite songs.
Great song. Most overrated artist, most underrated artist, greatest artist of all time. That's the text question. Rolling Stones not getting a lot of love. Not getting really any hatred, but I thought they would have popped up more.
Right.
Nirvana, overrated. Johnny Cash, both overrated and underrated. Bon Jovi, overrated and underrated, but more underrated. I mean, more overrated than underrated by the people who are doing this texting.
Huh.
I like Bon Jovi.
I love the Bon Jovi.
That's just sing-along stuff. It's not poetry.
I don't dislike him. I mean, I'm not crazy about him, but I don't mind him.
Stevie
Wonder.
He's
good to look at.
Yeah. He is good looking.
Hey, Mary, my eyes are
sorry. Sorry, Mary and I are off on our own tangent.
Apparently, you don't know about the He Too movement that I just started a second
ago.
Sorry,
we don't care about it. No.
Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Aretha, and Elvis all on the list as well.
Oh, yeah, I said Ray Charles too.
Yep, and Elvis, not getting a whole lot of greatest artists of all time love.
Whole lot of love?
No, not getting a whole lot of love. let's see. Sorry, Mary Vandeveld. I saw you two. This is a 6-3-0 texter. I saw you two years ago at Soldier Field, one of the best concerts I've ever seen.
That's nice.
A15, Simon and Garfunkel, for greatest.
Greatest. Simon.
overrated Justin
Even
Bieber.
Even though they hate each other now?
Oh, they've hated each other for years.
Okay.
Yeah. Overrated Taylor Swift, 630, greatest Elton John, overrated the Beatles.
No one, well, yeah.
Yeah, they're on both sides too, it seems.
847, greatest Billy Joel, overrated Led Zeppelin. Yeah, I'm not a Led Zeppelin guy, but I get why they're huge.
Is that, I mean, that's like of that all, what is it, like the 80s bands, like White Snake and
Rush,
all those bands, right?
Well, but Led Zeppelin's older, though.
Yeah,
older.
But, by the way, yesterday, not 40 years ago, yesterday I saw a story that somebody's suing the Led Zeppelin people.
I saw that.
For stealing Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Where were you 40 years ago? Why now?
Wow. That's,
hey, did you guys notice that that song sounds like our song?
There should be a statute of limitations on that.
312, best Elvis, overrated Michael Bolton. How dare you?
Michael Bolton. Oh, wow.
Best Stevie Wonder or Michael Jackson, overrated Michael Bublé. I like Michael Bublé.
Mm-hmm. He just does this. I don't know. He doesn't sing anymore. Now he just does the Bublé or the water commercials.
Doesn't he still do concerts? Water. He's still touring, is he? He had a sick little boy, but I think he's still doing concerts. Overrated Michael Jackson, best Metallica from a 779.
I'm surprised there's so many Michael Jackson overrated votes.
I think it's anger about what he did.
Well,
I would say because he was extremely talented. Oh. I mean, come on. Yep.
Best Paul McCartney, overrated Eddie Vedder. 630, Tom Petty, the best. Bob Dylan, overrated. How dare you? 815, Beatles, greatest of all. This is interesting. 630, best Andrea Bocelli. Overrated anybody that ever did a rap song.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, I think if you like Andrea Bocelli, rap's probably not your
right. Oh, true. Yeah, let's say guy Macklemore. He seems a little overrated.
Best Frank Sinatra? Tom Dreesen texting him? No.
Oh, my goodness.
Best Frank Sinatra?
You can't say Frank Sinatra three times or Tom Dreesen will appear. Be careful.
My son was listening to Frank Sinatra the other day in his bedroom. He's 23. Mm. I go, you're listening to My Way?
I think that's cool. I think it's very cool.
I was like, wow. He goes, yeah, Mom, he's a really good singer. I'm like, well, yeah.
You know, one of the best, I think, albums of all time for me personally just randomly popped up in my Spotify the other day was
go ahead, tell us.
Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is really an unbelievable artist. That album
tremendous.
Really, that album in particular so great.
She won like 48 Grammys for that album.
I'm obsessed right now with Brandi Carlile. I'm obsessed with Brandi. It makes me cry every time I hear her.
She lives on a compound outside of Seattle.
Oh, really?
Like a rock star compound.
That's my dream. I want to be on that compound.
And underrated Leonard Cohen. Look, Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah, is one of the greatest songs of all time.
The best.
But not sung by Leonard Cohen.
Did
anybody other than Leonard Cohen?
Did Jeff Buckley do a Hallelujah?
I don't know.
I think so.
Call Jeff.
I think everyone's done a Hallelujah.
Hi to everybody on CLTV. We're coming back to get to your news here, Dave, in just a second. And we will continue with the program. And Derek Haas, executive producer for Chicago PD and Chicago Med's, going to be here. I've got some ideas for some shows.
Yeah, I bet you do.
This is requested by we weren't going to take requests, but, you know, Springsteen's 70th birthday week, and it's a nice thing to do. Here's Fire.
It's so romantic.
You almost stepped on my post.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I got a bad desire. I got excited.
This is, this song's been covered by some people. And I can't think of a single one now. I can take you home.
So romantic.
It only takes a couple of minutes, so, you know, if you're feeling it and you're playing this in the background, you can get after it in a quick order. It's two and a half minutes long.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're suggesting.
9:13. People continue to text in their favorite artists and the most overrated artists of all time. We have Derek. Yes, we have Derek. Yes. All right, let's go there now. Derek Haas is with us. Hey, Derek.
Hello.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
All right, Derek. 70th birthday week for Bruce Springsteen. Most overrated artist of all time or the greatest artist of all time? Give me yours.
Neither. He's really good, but I was never like the giant Bruce Springsteen fan. Although he was, he did do this song in our premiere at the very end.
Which premiere?
Of Chicago Fire.
And why not? It's perfect,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Except for the amount of money you had to pay for the rights. I mean, other than that, as producer for Chicago, are you Chicago Fire Med and PD? Do you have the whole
deal? Yeah. Yeah, so I created Chicago Fire with my partner, Michael Brandt, and then we helped develop PD and Med, and I worked the first 2.5 seasons on PD, and then just wrote the first one on Med, and then I've only been doing Chicago Fire for the last 3 or 4 years.
And in your off time, do you just roll around in your money, or what do you do for fun?
That's Dick Wolf.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Well, they're all massive hits. Did you have any idea?
No idea. When you do a pilot, you really have no expectations of it even getting on the air. The odds are slim. And then when we debuted that fall, we had decent reviews. It wasn't like we set the world on fire when they were doing the reviews. And then I just looked, and we're the last show from that class, 2012, still on the air.
And I would argue that it is harder than ever to get a broadcast hit because broadcast networks bleeding money the way they are. They're going on the cheap, whether it's reality shows or whatever. So getting a scripted drama on, that's
yeah,
not easy.
We feel very fortunate. We feel like, as Dick says, the television game has changed more in the last 6 months than it did in the previous 60 years. And so we feel really good that we still get to make on this scale a show with this many episodes.
Everybody talks about the actors, and you've got great casts on all these shows, but the writing's great, too. Who do you want to shout out for the writing?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I just have the best head writers, Michael Gilvary and Andrea Newman, who have been on the show from the beginning and just make it cook.
Yeah, because it's not easy. It's not easy coming up with stories that aren't cliche, stories that actually matter to people.
Yeah, and you look at all of the television shows, they're just going back to throwbacks now. They're just rehashing old stories.
Do we need Elf 2? Now it's personal? I don't think
so. Now that you say it, we should probably try to get him to guest star on Chicago Fire.
Chicago Elf.
We also love that you shoot here in the city. I know that I have a lot of friends that are employed by you because of the work that you guys bring to the city, which is incredible. So thank you for that. Is it great shooting here?
Yeah, we have the best crew. I'm not saying that disingenuously. We've had them. I mean, they're just doing things on network television that most people just don't do anymore. You know, hanging people off of buildings in downtown Chicago. Chicago has rolled out the red carpet for us. They've pretty much given us everything we've ever asked for. This year we shot on the lake already once. We've shot up at the top of the, you know, with Sears Tower, Willis Tower. We shot pretty much every spot all over the city. I've definitely been in alleys that most people don't ever go to who live there all their lives. So it's been really fun.
Favorite rat you've seen in the city so far?
Oh my God, I saw one the size of a possum.
All right, so here's the thing. Is there a location in Chicago you want to shoot at that you haven't done yet?
Oh, we just shot a really big scene in the Soldier Field parking lot during a tailgate.
Oh, cool.
That was really fun. I'm trying to think if there's anything left that we haven't done. Maybe one of those architecture tour boats.
That would be cool.
We haven't done that yet.
It's going to be a logistical nightmare to try to do what you need to do to shoot a TV show, to shoot a scene in the middle of a tailgate.
Yeah, that was a fun one. What we try to do is keep the smallest footprint that we can while still, you know, we have to shut down traffic sometimes.
Sure.
But, you know, Chicagoans have been very kind to us on these things. And I always try to write things that will show off the city and, you know, show off these canyons of these downtown skyscrapers. And the only problem is when we do it in the summertime on Michigan Avenue and you got 700 people standing around looking. So we just try to write traffic accidents so it looks like we'd have a crowd looking anyway.
You know, one of the things, and I mean this with all sincerity, that I really appreciate about the show is you don't go for cheap shots of fat guys eating pizza, because it's a pet peeve of mine every time national TV's and Today's Show's doing it, whatever. Anytime there's a national story that comes here, they act like Chicago just got famous, and they do the mandatory shot of a fat guy eating pizza. Stop it. Or people in an overcoat shivering as they're walking down the streets of the Windy City. Come on, be better than that. And you guys are.
We never call it the Second City either. That's something that, you know, we let other people say that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not something firefighters.
My man!
Yeah.
So, Derek, asking for a friend.
Uh-huh. Are we going to get me the gig now?
No. I'm just wondering, like, what if someone's listening right now? They feel like they have a great script. They feel like they want to be a writer.
Oh, definitely send him all of those.
Like, how does someone start? Someone's listening right now who feels like, you know, they've got a screenplay or they've got a great story idea. They want to write. They want to be in the writer's room. Like, how did it start?
Yeah, I always tell people, get it into as many hands as possible of anyone who has even a tangential relationship with Hollywood. In other words, if you know somebody who's rigging lights on our show, or you know somebody who's friend of a cousin who's, you know, knows someone in Hollywood, I just think if you have something truly great, people keep reading it and pass it around, and eventually someone's going to find it that can do something with it. I mean, the other options are to enter contests, like the Austin Film Festival has a great contest in Texas once a year that they do. There's another thing called the Nickel Fellowship. Other than that, get in a writer's group, listen to your friends.
Or get a big Hollywood agent by noon today who can pitch it.
Well, that would be great, except we had to fire all our agents. There's a union strike going on against
our
agents.
So that's right.
There might not be a better time for you to get an agent set up for the next
next go-around, because it will get settled.
I'm hoping.
We were talking earlier. I did a bunch of meaningless one-line parts and two-line parts in movies in the 90s. And everybody on the show wants me to make a comeback, so here's what I got, Derek. Work with me on this.
Give it to me.
I'm bald. Mm-hmm. I'm the angry but lovable cook at the firehouse, because the main cook is down. He's got the flu. He's in the back. And I do the walk-on as the cook, and I say something like, "Yes, it's goulash. It's all we had." You know, something like that. Something subtle, something underneath, something that's not a scene stealer. You know where I'm going.
I am really digging this pitch. I think I can make this happen.
All right, we'll talk. My people and your people and other people.
Yeah, get your people.
To follow up, the entire station gets food poisoning.
The fire station?
There you go.
Oh, if I'm responsible for botulism, that's not good.
I think I found my actor and my writer for the next.
Oh, yes!
Right, what a team. Listen, we appreciate what you've done for Chicago, and I know how much you appreciate the city. It is a wonderful marriage, if you will. And I'm glad you've grown to love this city.
I love it. I hope we get to do it for another. This is our eighth season. I hope we get to do it for another at least 8 years. It's been really wonderful. And you guys have just made Hollywood production easy.
Well, hi to the writer's room and get back to work.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. That's Derek Haas. You're doing all right.
Yeah,
he's got three hits.
I'm sure he's doing really well. For how many seasons? I mean, this has been ongoing for so.
Did he say eight since the first one?
I think he was really into you, as an actor. And I think I got a job as a writer.
It sounds like you and I are a team on this.
Oh, I'm so excited about our next chapter.
And I am just putting the finishing touches on Chicago Podiatrist, where Dave plays a lovable podiatrist. And
this bunion has to go.
Crimes occur mostly around the feet. Yeah, that's another move we're making. So it's a team thing. Happy birthday to the boss. Not my boss, your boss, our boss. Bruce Springsteen. Pete McMurray texted in, says Pete said he's the biggest Springsteen fan on the station.
Ah.
He said he's definitely had hair and work done.
Really?
Hair work and work.
He looks good.
So. A15, the question is, greatest artist of all time, most overrated artist of all time, or anything in between. A15, overrated Neil Diamond. He's a good party guy. He was popular the first time. Cracklin' Rosie, get on board.
Oh, my mom loves Neil Diamond.
So, 847, I did not see this coming. Best ever, Kris Kristofferson. Really?
He's good, though.
He's a good writer.
Wonderful writer.
Yeah. Most overrated Maroon 5. How dare you?
I'm so sad. You know, Kris Kristofferson came to Old Town School of Folk, which always has the best. They have really great shows like that.
They have good kid stuff. Yeah. Abigail's been to some classes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
847, overrated Springsteen. Oh, how dare you?
Did they not know that the whole show we've been bumping in and out?
That's how we got on this subject. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like Derek Haas. I'm not the world's biggest Springsteen fan, but I have nothing but respect for the guy.
You got to respect the guy. He's the boss. Come on. Yeah.
Here's another one. How dare you? 773, overrated. The Starland Vocal Band. Are you kidding me?
Afternoon
I'm going to find my baby, going to hold her tight, going to grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night?
It's what impressive.
What was that? What were you saying?
From as originally heard in Anchorman.
Yes. 312, greatest Eric Clapton, overrated the Rolling Stones. This page of text is just to piss me off. Best Bee Gees, most overrated Bon Jovi. The amazing thing about the Bee Gees is that apparently when they were recording the songs, there was no oxygen in the studio, only helium. Because I have no idea how grown men could hit those notes. No idea.
That's a good point.
I've had Barry Gibb on the show before. Mm-hmm. I mean, through the years, I've talked to Maurice. I've talked to all of them. But Barry Gibb doesn't have, he doesn't sound like Mickey Mouse. He's got like a fairly normal voice. I don't know how they get there.
Well, Frankie Valli got there.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I just don't get the Bee Gees. I don't understand them.
Well, no one can understand the lyrics. You have to be a Great Dane to pick up the lyrics. 815, greatest ever Carole King. Yeah, she's pretty great.
Gee, yes, sir.
Best ever 217, David Bowie, overrated Chicago. You know, I'm not a big Chicago fan, but I respect their success. Santana, the best. 847, Prince, the best. My kids say he's the most overrated. Well, you need new kids.
That's right.
I want those kids replaced. 708, greatest Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes. He also sings Zeppelin songs with Jimmy Page. He's great, or was great. Overrated Bono. Bono's taking some heat, man.
I think
you know who I blame for that? Mary Vanderbilt.
Well, I think so, because you threw that
something
out there, and then it's just snowballed.
I have a confession to make. As a kid, I would confuse Bruce Springsteen and Michael Keaton, like a young Michael Keaton.
What?
I don't know. I was just...
Hey, look, she was in the rural North Carolina Highlands.
I was in an immigrant bubble. They kind of looked the same to me.
Not even close.
Okay. Never mind. That's why it was called a confession. A
couple more. 6-3. Most overrated Beatles. Theirs were show tunes, not rock. Oh, come on. Really? Most underrated local artist named Keith Falico. Catalog available on YouTube. I appreciate the way you got that plug in.
Yeah. Nice.
414. Overrated Elvis, the best Queen. 847. The Who is not overrated. The rock royalty. They did two rock operas and some of the greatest songs of all time, like Bob O'Reilly. Also greatest, Genesis and the Grateful Dead. Well, there's two bands you don't say together very often, Genesis and the Grateful Dead.
Did the Who, are they the ones that sing, who are you, who?
Exactly, okay. Just like that. It's like you're channeling them.
You get any ELO.
Stop it. Go to your room.
Okay.
312, greatest of Beatles, most overrated Beyonce. Oh, great. Now we're going to
Beyonce is the greatest.
We're going to have the Beyonce people in here coming in.
Cannot have the Bayhive after you.
No. Come get it, babe.
Those are my favorite ones. The ones that are like, you know.
The ones that anger me?
A 70s track, you know, 70s artist, and then like, oh, Drake stinks.
Right.
Like, exactly. You couldn't even name a Drake song.
Exactly. I know Drake's biggest hit. I can't believe you're buying this. That's Drake's biggest song. I don't know if you know that.
I got my own plane, the fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Samuelson.
It's our friend Orion Samuelson. We're talking about Marlene the other day, Big O. 52
yes.
years.
Yeah.
You know what 52 years is to Big O? A good start.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm accepting gift cards tomorrow because Thursday will be my 59th year on WGN Radio Chicago.
That's exactly why I brought it up, because I have been your friend long enough to remember conversations like this. Well, I'm going to get to 50. Definitely want to get to 50, and we're going to see what happens.
I mean, most
here
people,
we are 10 years later.
I know, most people just dream of retiring and not working, but Orion, you just keep working. You just love it.
Well, what else would I do besides drive Gloria crazy by spending the full day with her? So I have to keep doing what I'm doing because I like it so much. And as I said, told my kids so often, find something you like to do so much you'll do it for nothing, and then do it well enough that you'll get paid for it. I haven't worked a day since 1952.
Pretty good system. Yep. Yeah, it's a pretty good system. And here's the thing. Can you imagine if you were his lovely wife, Gloria, you're walking around the house and behind you hear this, what are we going to do now? What would you like to do now? Are we going to go somewhere? Let's go somewhere. Hey, can I help with that?
Orion is a good husband. He is still bringing home some bacon. This is good.
And she's cooking it very well.
He knows where the bacon is. He can find it. You know, we talk about what a struggle this year has been for farmers with the stress that's on the small family farm just to stay open. Does a year like this mean we're going to lose a lot more?
Well, yeah, we are losing, but not just because of economics. A lot of farmers are approaching retirement. You know, I think the average age of farmers in the United States now is right at 60. And, you know, there are some saying time to turn it over to the kids or time to take our investment and not work quite as hard because that's one of the reasons I got into broadcasting agricultural news, because talking about agriculture is a lot easier than doing it. I found
it's
that
a hard job, right?
Age.
It's one of the hardest jobs there is.
I think it is, because you're always on the job. You have to be a scientist. You have to be a veterinarian. You have to be a financial specialist. And then, of course, you have to use all the technology, because now when you sit in a combine cab or a tractor cab, you've got TV screen monitors that'll tell you, number one, how much is coming across the cutter bar, how much you're actually harvesting. It'll tell you what the moisture is in the case of corn, which is a very important ingredient this time of the year. You have to be everything, and that's why when I tell young people, as we did about a week ago at the University of Illinois, because Gloria and I have a scholarship program for U of I agricultural students, and I told them, I said, please learn everything about everything, because you're going to have to use that in whatever career you take, but particularly in farming as the years move on.
You know, the other thing that struck me is Super Joe found this story about the cost of the equipment. You're talking about the technology, but what's the first thing that jumps to mind when you think about a farm? A tractor.
Yeah.
You know, a tractor. Every farm's got a tractor. Well, you need a lot of tractors if you're running a farm, a bigger farm. And I saw a tractor price yesterday I couldn't believe, $700,000.
Not surprised, because when you add all of the technology, plus the horsepower, and plus all of the different things that tractor can do for you. Now, ours, you had to crank it to get it started, and then you just had three gears forward and one gear in reverse, and that was about all you had to know. That's not the case anymore. And as I remarked at the Farm Progress Show a couple of weeks ago, I said, if one person coming to the show bought one of everything on display at the show, he or she would probably have to write a check for $1 or $2 billion because of the value and the cost of that equipment.
So is it getting too expensive to do a family farm?
Well, my family farm would never make it today. You know, we had 200 acres in Wisconsin. We milked 30 cows, and that would not make it at all today. So there are farmers who find specialty crops and who like to do things that are a little bit different that maybe can make it for a while. But frankly, as you know, there's a lot of talk about small farms have gone, but you also got to realize small grocery stores have gone away and small car dealerships have gone away. It's not just agriculture, but right now we're talking a lot about it because it is a challenging time because of weather. Drove up to La Crosse over the weekend on Saturday and came back on Sunday. and it rained almost all the time we were in the car driving. And I thought, as I looked at some of the fields with standing water, we started the crop year with water, and we're ending the crop year with water. The report on Monday showed that 11% of the corn crop has been harvested, and only 29% is mature. That means only 29% would survive a killing frost if we were to have it now. And when you get planted as late as we got planted this year, you really are concerned. But we're still turning to our meteorologist on our weekly agriculture show. Greg Solier says he doesn't see killing frost till the end of October. And boy, agriculture could sure use that this year.
Let's play a game with G here. G, I'm going to give you the piece of farm equipment. If you can guess the price within a certain range, I will buy it for you.
Good luck. Okay.
All right. I'll explain what a combine does.
Combine does everything because a combine will, first of all, it's operated from the cab by the farm operator, mm-hmm. and the combine will, first of all, cut the corn stalk, mm-hmm. and then the corn stalk moves into the interior of the combine. It pulls the ear off the stalk, throws the stalk out the back end of the combine onto the field where it needs to be to keep wind and water erosion from happening. But then it not only takes the ear of corn, it takes the kernels of corn off the ear. And it then transports that into a grain wagon that's moving alongside the combine, and you get corn that's used for livestock feed and for corn syrup and for a lot of other products.
That is a busy piece of equipment.
It sounds like it's doing a lot of multitasking, this piece of equipment.
All right, so within $100,000, what's the average cost of a combine?
I would say it's
$80,000?
$88,099.
You are low, my friend, by a lot. The average combine costs $375,000.
What?
And by the time you do all the add-ons, it'll get up to $400,000, $500,000.
How about a sugarcane harvester? It cuts cane at the base of the stalk, strips the leaves, chops it into consistent lengths.
I'm going to go with $200,000.
Within $100,000, you are off by $150,000, $350,000 to $450,000.
Well, I could never afford to run a farm.
You couldn't.
Let's go in the other direction. Let's go something that you could, you could afford for the small farm that G is building right now. A hay baler, a baler.
Mm-hmm. Is that what turns the hay into those circles?
Well, it compresses cut crop into compact bales for transport and storage. And no, I'm not reading that.
Okay, that's a hay baler.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna.
You could phone a friend. You could ask Orion.
Orion, how much does a hay baler cost?
I have no idea because I haven't bought one lately. I have no idea. And, of course, now it's round bales where in my growing up days it was square bales. But
he's
there
being
weren't
modest.
Too many of those.
Okay, I'm going to say $1,000.
$1,000? You can't get a good rake for $1,000. A hay baler is $40,000.
Okay, I'm losing on this farmer's prices, right?
I mean, I'm willing to buy you a nice piece of equipment if you can, in fact, guess how much it costs.
Are you really? Because then I could resell it. And I could pocket that money and buy myself something nice.
Well, these are nice. These are brand new, bright green pieces of farm equipment.
I don't have a farm. Although I could find a farmer. Maybe I could find a farmer's.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. Farmers only? Isn't that like a match?
That is.
Yeah.
Farmers only is a dating site for farmers.
Okay, wait. So give me one more.
One more. Okay. Let's see. What about a planter? A planter. We're talking about planting and harvesting. Plants, drills, air seeds. How much for a good planter?
Okay.
I'm within $50,000.
I'm guessing that this planter probably plants a lot of plants. Yeah, I mean, it's not like one planter is planting one plant, because that would defeat the purpose, because a human being could do that, and that's why we're going to create machines. I am going to say $399,099.
$150,000, you're off again.
You could buy two of them.
I mean, there was over $1 million in equipment I would have bought for her right there, Orion, and she got
that
correct.
You're so generous.
Can you just let me borrow $500?
Yeah, sure. Big old markets today, optimistic?
Yeah, I think so. This
Trump's talking now. That'll either bounce him or hurt him. We'll see.
Yeah, that we will. And I'm still puzzled by last Friday when the Chinese agricultural delegation said they would not continue on the ag trip to Montana and Nebraska. And that normally would affect grain prices and that, but it affected Wall Street. And I still can't figure out why it did, because it gave Wall Street one of the worst days in a couple of weeks because of that news. And it turns out Chinese didn't cancel it. We did, because we didn't want it to get in the way of the trade talks that are due to start in about 2 weeks.
It's Orion Samuelson, available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Oh, I do, too. Have a good week.
There you go. We're back in a moment. Bill and Wendy coming up in a second. I'll fly through some more of these best and worst, most overrated, most underrated artists. Here's one I didn't see. Overrated, The Knack, and Wang Chung. Yes. Yes, you're correct.
I don't even know who that is.
It's 9:56. Let's take the last break right here and come back and talk to these guys next on 720 WGN. More than 20,000 Chicagoland homeowners have trusted Bill Conforti at Cobblestone. Cobblestone, yes. Yes, Cobblestone. Cobblestone, without a doubt. I mean, I did. I trusted him to come to my house. I said, come on in, Cobblestone. Go ahead, redo my kitchen, redo my family room. Take out this support beam here, redo the entryway, so when you walk in, it opens up more to the kitchen and the family room.
Your house sounds nice.
I haven't lived there in years. No. Yeah, it is. It's nice. Thank you. Look, it's great design, quality products, and expert installation. Oh, and these guys are sponsoring the big Friday night stop of the Steve Cochran Show Comedy Tour at the Beverly Arts Center at beverlyartscenter.org, sponsored by Cobblestone.
Sweet. And there's a sweet promo video on both the WGN Radio Facebook page and your Facebook page.
Stars my head, I understand.
Yep, your head is...
Steve, my family likes Bill Conforti so much, they named me after him.
Bill Leff is named after Bill Conforti.
My middle name is Conforti.
It's Bill Conforti Leff.
Did you know that?
Call Cobblestone Development for your complete kitchen remodel. You're going to get a $1,000 app gift certificate with your purchase. Well, how about that? $1,000 an app.
Very generous.
No kidding. Financing options to fit every budget. Get your free quote now. CobblestoneDevelopment.com, 773-661-0606. I don't let just anybody in my house.
No.
I said, Bill, come on in.
Yeah.
Bring your people.
That's where you and I are different.
You will?
Wendy lets anyone in.
There's no front door on Wendy's house.
773-661-0606. Cobblestone, Chicago's premier home remodeler. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
How are you today?
Go, Bruce. Go, Bruce.
70 this week. 70 yesterday.
Yeah. Looks great. Love him. He's great, guys.
Best ever, Sinatra. Most overrated, Judy Garland. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's best as well. Best ever, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. That dude could rock.
He was good.
Wow.
Oh, was he good.
Best ever, Dean Martin in ... yummy.
Oh, I agree. He's handsome.
Let's see. Greatest Aretha Franklin. Greatest Lady Gaga.
What about The Cure?
What about The Cure?
Don't you like them? Overrated, underrated. Steve.
No, I like them. They're fine.
Fleetwood Mac?
I like Fleetwood Mac, yeah.
I love Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I had a long talk with Stevie Nicks about her puppies.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, that's not code.
Nice puppies.
847, most overrated Radiohead. 414, overrated Drake. You think? Greatest ever Springsteen. Again, overrated the Beatles. How many people have said the Beatles are overrated?
A lot of people don't like the Beatles.
That's disappointing.
This person needs to be found by Homeland Security. 708, greatest ever Kansas, most overrated the Rolling Stones. I think you may have those inverted.
Yeah, I think so.
There was a band named Kansas?
Yeah.
Exactly. Carry on, G.
Oh, my.
You made my point.
Yeah.
Most underrated band, Head East.
Oh, never been any reason.
Oh, they're the best.
That song was great.
How's that song go?
I had that album.
Steve, you're going
to
sing it?
Never been any reason for you to think about me.
Save my
you got
life
the ooh from Mary.
And now people are just trying to anger me. Most
what
overrated
did they say?
The Eagles. How dare you?
Eagles are fantastic.
How dare you? Anyway, thanks for all of those. Happy birthday, Bruce Springsteen. What are you guys doing today? Oh, well, I should ask you, Wendy. Most overrated.
I don't have a most... I'd like have to kind music. Of agree with Radiohead. I think they're great and everything, but I don't understand the passion.
Bill, are you still with Zamfir?
Yeah, I love Zamfir.
What about overrated? Slim Whitman.
I'm not a fan of Frank Zappa, although people who know music tell me that I'm wrong. But it doesn't do anything
Frank
for me.
Frank Zappa's entire career was a bit.
What band was he in?
The Mothers of Invention.
Yeah.
And solo.
And none of them were mothers.
Yeah.
Very inventive.
And the Cows Hills for 2 years.
What happened to his daughter? His daughter was going to be a big
Moon
star.
Unit.
Yeah,
Moon She's Unit. Still out and
he
about.
He wasn't in the Cows Hills.
Yeah, he was, Dave, for 2 years.
Really?
He toured with them, yeah. He played the Glockenspiel.
Frank Zappa was in the Cows Hills.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that, quite honestly.
Those were his best 2 years, in my opinion.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for that information. And what are you doing today?
Do you ever watch Fleabag, Steve?
I'm told it's great.
It's so great. All right, you know Martin, the brother-in-law who you hate?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on with us.
This is all part of your
Fresh
weekly series, People You Hate?
Yeah, People You Hate with Bill and Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the best show.
Oh, it really ever. Is. So good.
All on demand. I can go binge it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, binge it.
I don't have that kind of time. See you tomorrow.